How's it going, everybody? Thank you for joining us on another episode of the TBMP. We got a very special episode for you guys today. Coming at you first, I am your host, Mo. We got a final guys episode for you guys today. For those of you guys who don't know what that is, it's a little bit of a different take of the final girls. We're used to seeing final girls make it in every movie. Mm-hmm. But this time we're going to switch it up. We're going to do final guys. Before I get too off topic, we're going to introduce our hosts. We got Rub.
What's up, y'all?
And then we got our second host, Ryan.
What's up, y'all?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we got a very special episode for you guys today. This is the final guys episode. But before we get into our episode, we're actually going to get into some news this week. And for me, I got one that's pretty near and dear to my heart. Luffy won the Best Main Character Award for 2024. This is coming from a Crunchyroll Awards. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw that, but that's a hooray for me.
Oh, yeah.
Also,
and for One Piece fans, I didn't know about that, but yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, right on. I don't know.
It looks okay. I don't know. Maybe it's all the hype behind the, you know, just him, his transformation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was mostly that. Yeah.
That's form. Yeah.
It's all the hype.
I guess it was pretty conflicted because a lot of people, it was like half liked it, half of them didn't like it. Even in the One Piece community, it was pretty. Mm-hmm. Some of them said it was too toony. Some of them said that they liked it because it was a little bit original. Because in every level up character you see, they just level up seriously, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's like a demonic possession or something. And this guy, he's just having fun. He turns into literally a laughing god. So, you know what I mean? But yeah, another one that's anime related. We got a live action Naruto movie in the works with the director Destin Daniel Cretton.
I'm good.
I don't know if you guys know who that is.
I do. He did the Shang-Chi movie.
Shang-Chi. Nice. So,
which for me was just mid. Everybody seemed to like that movie. I thought it was just okay. I never watched it. I watched it one time in theaters. I never watched it again.
Okay.
I was like, okay, you introduced the character. Like, that's all I really needed. So I don't really know, like, this director's credits. But other than that, if they haven't learned anything from, like, anime adaptations, like, fans are going to chew you up at the back. Yeah. So I hope this director's ready for that because the creators of that Avatar cartoon or the live action, they're getting... A lot of hate from the fans. So it's like, I mean, if you brave enough to do it, you better be ready for that heat because it's coming, bro. If it's whack,
because I feel like a lot of stuff can't really be translated to
live action.
Your live action, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes. Action. Like,
yeah,
especially with the CGI. I think that's what, you know, kills it sometimes.
Hell yeah, that's like I say, perfect example was that Avatar. Like, you know, it's only so much you can do. Like, most of the business meat was fine. I understand like the limits of CG, so. I can kind of, as long as it don't look like say, we got our worst example. As long as it look like the Flash, I'm okay. as long as you look better than that, then you winning for me. So it didn't look that bad. I can tell they spent some money on it. So I don't know. I just hope he's ready for that fact. It's coming. If his direction is bad, whoever the writer of the script, get ready, sir. You finna get it too. Like, so yeah, if they ready, let's see what they got.
And then for my last bit of news, I got Justice League animated movie is reportedly in the works at DC Studios. So I don't know if you guys are hyped for that. I kind of am. I like seeing little multiverse, different variations.
Yeah.
I mean, they already give us some, you know what I mean? Some weird ones. Might as well give us something kind of cool.
Everybody's doing it. Dinosaurs. I told you, bro. Everybody's doing it already. Might as well just jump in the hype train. Everybody's doing some sort of multiverse or something. I literally said this in the last episode that everybody's making... a multiverse of something. Just whatever. That's like the. It seems like they're going to like waves. Like they follow a trend, and like everybody wants to go through that trend. And it's like whatever the next trend is, like then everybody go through that trend. So it's like that's the trend right now. It's that. I don't know. Like multiverse or parallel universes or I don't know. Which you know everybody has their own iteration. Like, you know, Marvel, DC, and even to like that other movie. Everywhere at the same place at once, they had their own variation of that, kind of what that is, right? So like everyone has their own, but it's cool to see. I don't know. So everybody's doing their own thing. So we'll see. Can't really.
Audience, by the way, he meant everything.
There you go.
All at once.
yeah.
I don't know, bro. Like, I don't really care about seeing a Jurassic League. I'm sorry. I know I'm always,
even if it's animated. Like, come on, you know they do pretty good with the animated. But
I have no, bro.
Yeah, we did it. We did a review on the comic Jurassic Power Rangers, and that looked pretty cool. We wouldn't.
Oh.
But the whole point of that comic wasn't that there were going to be dinosaurs the whole time. That was a one or something that happened within the five.
It was kind of late. It was kind of
whole story is them. This whole story is going to be Dinosaur Justice League, bro.
It's something new. Something
we don't know. We don't know yet. Yeah. We don't know
you
yet.
You gave me this and you pass up on a Batman.
Well,
Beyond?
Okay. Well, now you're comparing, bro. Now you're just.
Yeah, now,
yeah, they don't compare. Obviously,
we can't pick.
It's not a comparison.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not comparing it, but obviously, I would rather have Batman Beyond. But if they do that, I'm not knocking it either.
In my defense,
I'm not excited for
it. In my defense, I would say that beggars can't be choosers. Obviously, we can't. We're the beggars. You know what I'm saying? Give us it.
You can't be true. I'm gonna still be on my shit. Y'all better give me something better than this, man. You gonna pass up on an opportunity? Instead of business today, DC. I'm gonna need y'all to get together. Didn't nobody ask for no Jurassic League? What's wrong with you? What are you doing
maybe
there, guys?
Maybe because they're making another Jurassic Park, bro. Maybe they're right. They're gonna.
They're
know,
trying to keep up.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. So first bit of news from me. So we got our first look at the character design for Bill Skarsgård as the Crow.
Mm.
Like when we first got the news, I was pissed because I'm sorry, man. Like I respect my man. I like Bill Skarsgård, but. Going from Brandon Lee to this, oh no, man. I'm sorry. I would have rather had a martial artist Eric Draven. I mean, even though I'm not too sure as the comics, I don't really read The Crow. I'm going only off what I know from the live action adaptation I got in the 80s or the 90s. That's all I got.
Yeah.
So just going off that, they're like, oh, this is going to be your new Crow. I'm like, oh, Lord. And then, you know, he at the time he had. But was Pennywise, he did another character too. And I was like, I can't see him as the Crow. Mm-hmm. I just can't see it. So they released an image of him in costume. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He does have a weird look though. I mean, he does have like a weird funky look.
I can rock with it. Like I said, he don't got the long hair like Brandon Lee had. He got a shortcut. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But he tatted up. He looked like an emo boy. So I mean, I guess, man. So I'm like, all right, bro. And then, you know, he got that movie coming out later this year called Boy Kills World. Mm-hmm. So it looked like he might have a hell of a year, bro. Like, if these two movies do good, my man's might have a good year. So we'll see how that goes for him. And then they released the release or they announced the release date for the sequel to TMNT Mutant Mayhem.
Oh, okay.
It is official.
That's for 2026, right? Or?
What? Yes, that's the only bit of bad news. That mess don't come out until October.
That means they're
going to
do a good job.
2026.
That means they're going to do a good job. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's cool. We got a long.
I think they're going to upgrade the animation too a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely going to be newer looking and everything. So, I mean, we just got a long time to wait. Yeah. I'm not too happy about that. But at least the fact that it's coming, I mean, and at least we know when it's coming. Mm-hmm. I guess that helps. But. The bit of good news from that is they did announce that they're going to have like a new animated series called The Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. That's based off of the movie, the characters from the movie with the same voice actors. Instead of being a CG, it's actually drawn. Might be a mixture of both.
Okay.
But that's slated to come out this summer. So.
Oh, okay.
Give us a little something.
It'll hold us over.
Maybe it's going to be like a build. Maybe it's going to be like a build up too or something.
That's a good point. If they make the cartoon and then the season finale and then it rolls over to I like that, Ruben. I mean, hopefully that's what they do.
If y'all listening,
if they listening, or like say if they already
they're
got
doing
it
like the kaiju,
that's great.
They'll be doing it like the kaiju series,
Legacy of Monsters. Yeah, that's how you do it. That was a good idea for them to do, like to give us a little filler and then roll us into the movie. So I'm with it. And then my final piece of news is that I know everybody knows that they've been making these Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths movies. So they have the first one out already. The second one, I want to say like sometime, is it April?
Sometime soon.
The second part two is coming out. It could be this month even. So look out for that. And then the third one is going to have the final time we'll have Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill together as Batman and Joker. Because as you know, we lost Kevin Conroy recently. So
rest in peace.
This is his last performance. So just off of that, I mean, it's not like I wasn't going to watch the movie anyway. Yeah. But it's just to know that I'm going to hear my man's voice one more time.
Yeah.
Might get a little...
Yeah. Waterworks.
Yeah, it might hit me a little bit. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I'm looking forward to just hearing that. But as far as looking forward to those movies, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That first one, bro. Man.
Yeah, that last one might be the best one. You know what I mean? That last one. Especially if they're...
How they wrap it up? I'm going to give you, Ruben, I know you, it sounds like I'm ragging on it. At least they're giving it like a time to grow. Like it's three pieces. Mm-hmm. So it has room to grow. Mm-hmm. But like I say, right now, I'm just like, whatever.
You're like, meh.
I wasn't impressed, but you got time to grow. We'll see how they do it, bro.
Not over.
Yeah,
we'll see when Marvel X come out. We'll see. Okay, you know. we'll see who's talking. Yeah.
See, he makes it sound like I'm a DC hater, bro.
Yeah.
I hate on every day equally, sir. I'm an equal opportunist hater.
That's right.
All right.
Go ahead, bro.
I only got two bit of news. One anime is they came out with the release. A little teaser for One Punch Man season 3. Same animators from last season, which is JC Staff. They titled it, so check this out. This is what they titled the season or whatever. Supreme Power versus Ultimate Fear. Because it's like, that's who's
the strongest
versus. Yeah. So they just said it's in production. Production is in progress, so they don't really have a release date. It's just like a little teaser. So the hype is there, man. I'm ready. I kind of hated how they left the last season because it was kind of like cliffhanger also too. Mm-hmm. So they kind of been always doing that, like little cliffhangers. But they did deliver in the second season, I believe. And a lot of people were saying that the animation is not as good. That's the second one. That's the first one because it was different and animation studio. But I still think it looks good, in my opinion. I don't know if you got a chance to see that yet. No?
Right? True. I saw it.
Oh, Ryan, have you seen it? No, you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
All right. Well, that'll be one if you're interested. You probably, I don't think you probably will be interested though, because it has a little like little funky those scenes. But the action is like legit though. The action parts is legit. Like, if anything, if you can just look for the action parts and the fighting scenes, that's probably like the bread and butter of the One Punch Man series, because he's so OP, right? The other news is Pokemon, they're coming out with a new game in 2025. It's Pokemon Legends ZA. And it's anticipated to come out with the next-gen console of Nintendo also coming out next year, though. And they gave a little teaser in the end. They showed the Mega Evolution little icon. So they're bringing that back because they didn't have it in the last one. So hopefully...
The what evolution?
The Mega Evolution. When the Pokemon Mega Evolve, they got this little Mega Stone mixing.
I didn't know that was a thing, bro. Wow, you're like, that's how long
Digimon?
I played.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway,
like,
well, a lot of people were saying, like, oh, you know, ever since Power came out, kind of seemed like Pokemon kind of woke up and like, we kind of got to get our fan base back or something.
So you got to give everybody what they want, you know, stop messing around.
And it's a Legends game, so it's not a regular Pokemon game. It's like Pokemon Legends, they came out with the other one. I believe it was Arceus. It was kind of like, it took place in old Japan, and it was pretty cool. Like, you got to craft balls and everything. It was kind of like Power World a little bit. Like I was telling Mo, you kind of had that, like, vibe. But, so they're making a new Legends game. So, everybody's kind of hoping that, you know, they give players what they want. Which is what they're hoping for. So, I'm excited for that.
Okay. I mean, like, I haven't played a Pokemon game in a while, man. But it's only because I don't have a system to play it on, to be fair. Which means I would have to buy another system.
Well, you have to buy a newer one now. Because a newer one's going to come out for this.
Bruh.
He's like, yeah.
See what y'all doing, Nintendo? See what y'all doing? Y'all just want me to be broke. I understand. Like, we got good news is we got Pokemon coming. It's going to be on our new console. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you already know. I'm looking. I'm assuming this newer console. If I had to guess a price, I'm going to say $399.
If that, bro, it might be more with inflation now and everything.
It might be more. If it, well, the only way they can go $499 is if they go next gen graphics.
Well,
they never do
that.
But if they do,
the rumors are. I don't know if they haven't really come out with anything. But that's what rumors are, you know.
Yeah,
because it's gonna be on the Switch 2. Yeah, they haven't given us any specs on the Switch 2 yet. So
right. But if they cross over to, like, you know, better graphics finally, then yeah, we look at $499. Yep,
easily.
Yep. Absolutely.
Especially with those handheld portable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah, it's gonna be next gen, and yep. it's gonna be portable. Yep. So yeah, they and just off that, if that's the case, then yeah, it sounds about right.
Because if Steam can do it, like the Steam Decks, they can do that. That means Nintendo has the capacity to do that.
Yep. Yep. Damn. All right. Well, we'll see what happens with that.
Yes, sir. The future looks nice. So now we're gonna go ahead and segue into our episode. I'm gonna go ahead and start it off first. My movie is Deep Blue Sea. So this is actually a 1999 classic.
Hmm.
And I'm going to give you guys the rating on IMDb. It got a 5.9, 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, 2.8 on Letterboxd.
Okay.
So overall, not too bad.
Like average.
Not too bad. Average. That but from what I remember from when I watched that movie, that sounds about
right. I liked it a lot, bro. I don't know why people hated on it, bro. I thought, I don't know, bro.
I mean, I guess for the time.
It was scary to me, bro. Also, too, because I can't swim. So that's like the scariest for me personally. That's like a like a phobia right there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so for my final guys, I actually picked LL Cool J, who plays Preacher in this movie. He actually plays the chef. And he's also the bartender. Man, this movie, when I first seen it, I got to tell you, it gave me the heebie-jeebies. The way they're telling you all the scientifics and how they're trying to cure Alzheimer's. It sounds like a good cause. And they're using sharks to get, you know, to experiment on. I was like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it wasn't two sharks, Rub. It was actually three sharks.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. So that was pretty crazy. Rewatching this one, I got to see how they actually. It's funny because three people survive in the end. You get old girl Saffron Barros. Barroso. Sheesh. Mm-hmm. Looking mighty fine at that age.
You said it right.
And then you got the LL Cool J killed the first one. And then the third one was killed by Carter. Yeah. And he blows him up at the end.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go ahead and give you guys the scenario.
So this one would be two final guys that survived.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Two final guys and one final lady.
I mean, because obviously Saffron, her character survived as well, but we only focus on the men this episode. Right. Sorry, ladies. Right. So, yeah. So you actually have two final guys for you.
But on this one, the only reason why I picked LL Cool J is because Carter in the movie, he's the one that's like swimming with the sharks. He catches the first shark in the beginning of the movie, who's like originally trying to kill the people in the beach and the boat. So like he had experience with these sharks. Like I kind of knew he was going to make it. If I was a betting man, I would have put all my money on him. He was the one with the coolest temper, like calm and collected. He was literally swimming with these motherfuckers. LL Cool J and old girl though, I was like, oh shit. Either one of them can go, you know? So, especially because LL was just a chef. He ain't got no experience with swimming or sharks or anything like that.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, so for this one, I don't know if you guys remember, but I'm going to take you guys to that scene. You got Preacher. He's after the shark makes an initial contact. I'll give you guys the whole spiel. They try and save one of the scientists after he gets hurt by one of the sharks. They're trying to airlift him out of the place, but it's during the storm. And then the thing about functions, they literally drop them down in the middle of the shark den.
Oh yeah.
Shark grabs them, takes them down. Helicopter gets pulled into the building and it starts this whole fire.
Yeah.
I was just laughing because what the shark does is he then goes straight forward to the glass where all these guys are at. And then he just lunges old boy in the glass. I was laughing. He doesn't break the glass initially. He just cracks it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes again. He fucking slams. Boom. Breaks in. Everybody's trying to get up. So then that's how they get the water inside. It's flooding the facility.
Yeah.
And then we get the scene where Preacher is walking through the hallway. He's got his little parrot. Cracks me up because he's got to go up through the stairs. And the parrot just looks. And he fucking takes off.
You go ahead and do what you do. I'm gone, bro.
Next thing you know, this gush of water comes flooding in. Preacher gets, water's knee high. He's in the hall. He's like in this hallway, calling out for the bird. Come here, bird. He's
your bird didn't go. You worry about yourself, sir. That bird ain't worried about you.
Yeah. He ends up going into like this kitchen area. he's trying to like climb up, and the shark's in there. Fucking then you see Bird goes on this little pot, Ello trying to grab him. Fucking Jaws looking shark comes up, eats the bird. Ello then, you know, falls over, making his way to the oven. He sees the oven, goes inside the oven, shuts it. I'm thinking it's over, right? I'm like, that situation,
going to oven,
I would have just stayed in the oven. But
what?
Yeah, I would have been in. I would have been a bread, bro. I would have been a bread. You know what I'm saying? I would have been Pillsbury Doughboy bread.
He says,
"Because it's funny because the shark, while he's trying to ram him, he turns on the oven, and then you got LL with an axe.
Oh, okay.
He's like, hell no! Nah. So he starts, you know, chopping up the top. It goes up through the top, and then shark breaks through the glass. LL jumps over the shark, and then since the oven is on, gas is leaking, coming out. LL just gets his Zippo lighter, chucks it at the oven, kills him, bro. Hilarious.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was pretty cool. And then right before he throws the lighter, he says, "You killed my bird." He throws the lighter. It's for my bird, you know what I'm saying? I thought that was pretty crazy.
Ryan wouldn't have said that, though. he hate bird.
No. First of all, I wouldn't have had no bird, first of all. No, if I'm going to have a pet, it ain't going to be no bird, bro.
Mm-hmm. And then, so that was the first shark. And then I'll just give you the other way they killed the other one. Saffron Barroso killed the second one by electrocuting him. She goes inside she's going to like this facility area. She notices the shark, and then there's like this wire. She just throws it at the shark. Shark gets electrocuted.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Third shark is a little bit of both, LL Cool J and Carter. Carter goes in. Hooks up the wire that's like connected
that one I remember. Yeah.
Connected to the thing. Ella just has to connect the wire to the battery. And then as soon as the shark goes off the fence, he's able to like put it on and blow him up. That one was a pretty crazy explosion. In my head, I was like, ain't no way Carter's going to survive that because he was holding onto the fence underwater. Yeah. That should look crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
But he
for,
made
for movies, you know, it looks good.
Yeah. And then a little something, I like LL Cool J a lot in this one. The reason why I chose him, the main reason is there's this scene where he finds a camcorder. And I thought it was going to be kind of cheesy, you know, how they do the, you know, I love you, you know, I'm sorry for anything, you know. He kind of just sent like a little heartfelt message, like, you know, try my best, you know, to always do good. And then right at the end, before he's like, he says goodbye, he's like, so I'm gonna just do what I always do. He's like, I'm going to send it off right. He's like, to make the perfect omelet, you need 2 eggs.
Oh, bro. Yeah.
You know, he was like sending like a beautiful message. Like, if anybody ever found this, like his kids or something, they were going to get like he's going to give his last experience, like his last
his recipe. Yeah, bro. Yeah.
So I was like,
perfect omelet recipe.
Crazy. Crazy. So that's why I like him.
Wait, what was LL in this? Samuel L. in this?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Yeah.
And, Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, a lot of people thought he
was the director. He was the director or something, right? I think
Samuel
Jackson. He was a.
Oh, the facility.
Like
that, I can't remember his character. Honestly, I don't remember like his role. I just remember him in the movie because when I went to see this movie, bro, and my man was making that rousing speech. Yeah. He was trying to get everybody rallied up, and that shark came out that water and snatched my man. Bro, I was dying in the movie theater, bro. But me and my friends was dying. Like, that shit was
so
funny. Then you start to feel like, you know, and the Samuel Jackson speech always go hard. And then that shark came out and snapped my man up, though. Oh, my God. Bro. I'll never forget that.
They did my man's dirty.
They did my man's dirty, bro.
I'll never forget that scene, man. If anything about that movie, I will never forget that scene. Just because I have like a history with it, as far as like when I was laughing, my boy started dying, man.
You're the only one in the movie. Needed laughing. That's funny.
Me and my, three of us. Yeah. We thought it was funny, though.
That's funny. But yeah, so that was my final guys. Final guys, plural and girl. What you guys got?
Oh, yeah. Do you rate it?
Oh, my rating? So for, so for direction, I gave it a 1. I thought it was pretty cool just because they actually killed a bunch of people. And then I like how you had that, you didn't know who's going to die, who's going to survive. you know, you kind of knew, but you didn't. And then they kind of switch it up, like you said, Ryan, like out of nowhere, they just kill somebody. You're like, what the fuck? Yeah. They also had Michael Rapaport.
Yeah. That's right. He was in this one too. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked them in that scene. So, story and originality, I thought it was a pretty good story. I didn't really see too many killer sharks like that with super intelligence. And then to have three of them in a like Alcatraz setting, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Performances, I gotta give it a one. You know, I mean, just I didn't think anybody was really lacking. They had the animatronics, it looked really real. You know, I didn't CGI, but I feel like it was kind of minimal. And then visuals, I'll give it a one too, just because during that time, I think for that time it was pretty good. You know, they used a lot of like water effects. I think LL Cool J almost drowned too during one of the animatronic scenes. They said he got like a near-death experience and shit, just like what I'm saying. So pretty crazy. So scoring, sound design, LL Cool J produced some tracks on this one. I was like, bro, they got some pretty good some bumping songs in here. I gave it a one, bro. It was a 5.0 movie for me.
Damn.
Strong recommendation.
My man's gave that movie a perfect score.
Can't do no better in 1999, if you ask me.
I heard that. I mean, for the year, now that I think about it, like I say, as far as the visuals, man, they did do a really good job. Because even when I was in the theater, I was like, okay, the mixture of practical and CG is really
at that time.
Good, so, at that time, I can put myself like if I was to rewatch it, I can be like, okay, I can appreciate.
And you saw it at the theater, so
that's fair. And I saw it in theater, so I can see that. That's a damn five. Holy crap!
Yes, sir.
All right, Ruben, what you got, sir?
All right, so my movie was The Faculty. This is a 1998 film, cult classic. It got a little following nowadays. My final guest character was Elijah Wood. There was another character too, Zeke, who was played by
was it the dude with the low eyes?
Josh Hartnett.
Those were the two. They both survived in the end, but I chose Elijah because that's my boy. And I kind of like that guy.
He just reminded me too.
Like that's kind of how it be. Not that much of a nerd, but I was pretty nerdy in high school. Kind of like shy to myself.
Yeah, I was a KC in high school. I ain't gonna lie.
So IMDb got 6.6 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes 58. Audience score 57. So,
pretty even. There.
Letterboxd 3.3. Pretty average.
So, yeah.
On the nose.
Yeah.
So box office, it came out. It actually did really good. It got 63.2 million box office, and it had a budget of 15 million. So they came up. They came up really good.
15.15.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that definitely came up then. Okay.
Because they didn't have that many effects in this movie. It was like more sort of like the end, kind of where the major effects would have came out.
Yeah.
So this movie is basically just it takes place in this high school, and you know, the principal and her posse of teachers have always been a little odd in the school, but lately they've been behaving kind of alienly. They're being controlled by these otherworldly parasites. Now the faculty tries to infect the students one by one. Then there's a cheerleader, Delilah, played by Jordana Brewster. And then football player Stan, Sean Hatosi. And then drug dealer Zeke, Josh Hartnett, And new girl, Marybeth, Laura Harris. And they team up with some other classmates to kind of fight back the faculty. So it's kind of like students versus teachers kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I gave this, starting off with the direction, I gave it a 0.75 just because there wasn't really that many direction angles. I kind of went into that Ryan mindset, kind of like,
there you go.
I kind of see how Ryan sees a little bit. I get a point.
Yeah,
I get a point. Story, I don't think at that time there was anything like this. There was like parasites kind of things. There was maybe like alien or species. But I think I hadn't seen anything like this, so I gave it a one. Performance, I gave everybody a one because I was fooled towards the end. I didn't know that the main
queen was alien.
I didn't know. Like they did pretty good.
They did pretty good.
Visuals, I gave it a 0.75 because, like I said, I mean, everything looked okay. Like nothing looked weird. And then the only visuals that they had was okay. Like the alien monster once she became the monster, it was good.
Yeah,
nothing crazy. Sound design, I gave it a 0.50 only because it had a lot of mayonnaise music, and you know, I'm not.
Here you go. This dude, kind of mayo. Wow.
I'm not even knowing you're trying to get his canceled.
Heavy on the mayo with the music. Hey, I'm here to let you know, sir. Those songs in that movie was thousands classics, the 2000s. All them songs, emo songs, was fire, bro. I love that soundtrack. Yeah, you're hating. Some worlds, damn. I was with all that, brother.
Yeah, I wasn't in my era in that time, so nah.
Damn.
Overall, I gave it a 4 though. That's still good. I gave it higher than you know most of the critics. So
yeah, 4 is. I would say about a 4 for that movie, bro.
No,
that's a classic.
I'll watch it again. I watch it again.
Oh hell yeah, I watch that.
So Elijah Casey is who he plays in this movie. I like in the beginning of the scene, they fuck around with him so much because he got his balls rammed by some jocks and they just ram a pole in his balls. I was like, oh man, right off the bat, they fucking messing over the old boy. So you, already from the beginning, you're kind of seeing like, damn, this is kind of the loser of kind of the movie.
Yeah.
The kind of the one you expect to die. So that's kind of cool how in the end he doesn't die. So he kind of like, not squirming, but he kind of ended up being more brave than all these other dudes. He kind of showed more.
Yeah, he rallied.
He showed more resilience, more kind of like tenacity, and kind of was smart about it. You know, about a lot of things. And he kind of didn't give a F because he kind of just because there was a scene where Zeke told him like, "Bro, snort this shit." He's like, "Nah, bro, I don't want to snort that cocaine, whatever." And he just did it. You know, he just fucking manned up. He was one of the first ones who did it. So, you know, he kind of had it like that. I like in the beginning, he kind of was already kind of like he didn't know what was going on because he had seen the football coach, he was acting kind of weird. And there was a cigar that he dropped. And then from that cigar, he got a sample. And that's the sample that he found was one of the parasites. He ended up giving it to the professor and they put it in this water tank, which is like the worst thing you can do. These motherfuckers love water.
Right.
I mean, I should have seen it when I seen it last time beforehand, but I forgot. So, you know, it's kind of cool because like that's kind of like how in the beginning, everything starts unfolding and you start seeing some of the teachers acting weird and then people start acting funky and then you start seeing all of a sudden these gallons and jugs being brought in and, you know, I don't know, like little by little things started happening where these people start acting odd and more odd.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like it because in high school, I've always thought about like, not like when I seen this movie, because I think I was, it was before I went to high school, so I always thought like, fuck, well, what if I go to high school and this happens or some shit? What if some parasites take
your paranoid? You said it came out in 98?
It came out in, 98. So I would have been, that was before my high school days, so I would.
Imagine for you, but imagine for me when I literally graduated in 98. Hey. So when I saw that movie, I was able to really relate to that crap. So if you, like, imagine, I was like, damn, man. I think that's why I have a high love for this movie, too, because right after I graduated, so.
I didn't know this, but this was like Usher's also film debut. I was like, damn, sir. Usher.
Hey. Yeah, that was his first movie.
He did pretty good. Like, I liked him. He was pretty cool in the beginning. And then he became all weird and parasitic-like in the end. I was like, whoa, hold on. Yeah. He did pretty good. And then also, do you guys know that Jessica Alba auditioned for the role of Delilah Prophet? So, yeah.
I was like,
damn, I wouldn't mind. Man, young.
I can see that.
Jessica Alba.
Especially in the especially in the 90s. Oh, yeah, I can definitely see her playing that role. That would have been nice. Although Jordana Brewster is still gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I had a question. Yeah. It sucks that she was the one that had the worm, too. I was like, damn it, he got her.
I know, when they did that, the sniff test, I was like, damn. Yeah, but I like that because, you know, like it was unexpected. And then when you finally see the twist at the end and how it played out and how she was able to trick him in the thing, I was like, yo, that very smart, man. Yeah. Very smart.
I like the twist there, too. And then also, like, this movie was originally titled The Feelers. The one they were going to call it.
What?
Imagine The Feelers.
Yeah, I'm glad they went with the faculty, man.
What you feeling? Horrible.
I feel something.
Yeah, Feelers. Get out of here.
And then another little fact, the director, Robert Rodriguez, ended up casting same Josh Hartnett and Elijah Wood in Sin City in 2005. Yeah.
Yep.
So they got to
reunite. Yes, sir. He used them again. That's not, and I say between those two and the late 90s. Yeah. Oh. Come on, man. And more so with Elijah Wood in the early 90s because like he was just.
And actually, too, like I read another fact that like during the time when he was filming this movie, Elijah, he kind of he went to audition for a role for The Hobbit, for Lord of the Rings. So while he was filming this, he actually went to go audition and, you know, ended up being Frodo.
Damn.
Yeah.
So what I ended up liking about this movie towards the end, like you know, it's kind of like a little homage to him playing Frodo, because he ended up becoming brave. He ended up killing the alien at the end. He's the one that stabbed the alien with that pen. Eventually, yeah. Killing him. Because he did get infected, remember? Because she spit on him, whatever, and he
was able to. Yeah, I remember that.
And actually, Zeke was the only one that didn't get infected out of everybody, because
at all. Like, no. What about a girl? The emo chick.
The one they kind of knew.
She got her. Because they ended up, I think there was a scene where they were in the house and they were running. That's when they all kind of like broke up. And then it was just Zeke towards the end. He kind of lured him. And then Elijah kind of made his way to the gym. Lured old girl who ended up turning into the big old monster. And then, yeah. No, but they all got it. And then Zeke was the only one.
Oh, okay. Zeke was the only one. Okay.
Out of all the people, the druggie.
Hey, they say drugs is deadly, nah. But not in this movie. Hey. The whole point of this movie was the drugs that saved their life, bro. So you think about it in that aspect, that's pretty funny, man.
In the words of Rick James, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
And actually, it wasn't just cocaine. Drug. It was his own mixture too. So he kind of
It was a mixture. It didn't have any cocaine in it. He said it was just household stuff. Oh, he had just, because he was a really smart guy, man. His character. And he came up with that, you know, it just makes you happy. It's kind of equivalent to smoking weed, but you snort it.
Oh, basically. Wow.
Yeah, he called it scat, by the way. I remember what he called it. I remember that. I'll never forget that. Scat. Yeah. It's a weird ass name.
It's like a drug. Scat.
It is. That's what it is. That's what scat is, bro.
But yeah, so that was my final guess character. All right, what you got?
Sure.
All right. So my movie is a movie that was released all the way back on October 15th, 1981.
Damn.
So your boy was 1 year old when this movie came out, bro.
Barely conceived.
Now check this out. This movie got the infamous NC-17 rating, sir. Yes. This movie was rated NC-17 for substantial graphic violence and gore. And when you see this movie, put your mind in the mind of somebody that's watching this movie in the 80s and the stuff they're doing in this movie, bro. Yeah. NC-17. 100%. Because I'm pretty sure their mind was blown. Like, what the hell is happening right now?
What kind of movie is going this? On?
Yeah. So that rating is I get it. It's a deserving rating. Now, I have a budget for it, but it's kind of an estimated budget because it's a lot of facts about this. I didn't even notice. I had fun studying this movie and then watching it. And I was like, holy crap. So the estimated budget was
$350,000. Oh, wow.
Pretty cheap.
Now, after everything was said and done, after the whole worldwide release, this movie made close to $3 million.
Damn. So big come up.
That's pretty good back then, man. And if you don't know the name of this movie, it is called The Evil Dead. And my final guy is Mr. Ash Williams.
Hey.
The final guy of all final guys.
The original.
The final guy that final guys aspire to be is Mr. Ash Williams. So the premise of this movie is 5 friends travel to a cabin in the woods where they unknowingly release flesh-possessing demons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this movie was scored on IMDb at a 7.4 out of 10. So this is... This is a highly beloved movie. So 7.4 is, I feel like it's kind of low, but I mean, that's still pretty good for IMDb. As far as Rotten Tomato, this is really interesting because the tomato meter score is 86 and the audience is 84.
Oh.
So they about, it's a rare occasion where the critics and the audience agrees. Yeah. So that's really close. So I was really shocked to see that score. And Letterboxd got a 3.7 out of 5. So this movie is,
above average.
It's above average. 100% above average movie, man. So, yeah, it gets all the accolades. Now, to best, you know, the premise, you know, 5. It's nothing new because half of the movies now that have something to do with the woods, it's pretty much the same premise. Mm-hmm. And it's because of this movie. So, you know, 5 friends go. They go to this cabin. You know, they heard it was abandoned. You know, we can just go here and party, man. Let's just go set up shop. Okay. And then even when they get there, like weird stuff is already, it's already happening, but they don't know why. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like foreboding like scenes happening. Like you get like this, the chick, I believe it was Cheryl. She was drawing and then like her hand got possessed and she ended up drawing this book. And this book is called the Necronomicon Ex Mortis, or more popularly titled The Book of the Dead.
I would have been like, you know what? Let's go to be
So, thank you, Ruby. You made a perfectly good point. It was already scenes for them to dip. It because she should have been like, hey man, you know what? To be fair, she did try to tell him. She was like, she's like, it's time to go. That's like, what are you talking about? Why are you tripping? So she was trying to get him to leave, bro. So, you know, in Cheryl's defense, you know, she tried.
She tried.
I'm assuming the cast was Caucasian.
Here you go. Here you look here, bro. You're not wrong, by the way. You're absolutely right. 100%
coming from the mountains of Caucasus.
Yes. 100%. But there's one infamous scene in this movie that's like, it was, especially in, like I said, you got to imagine, you got to put your head in the mindset of in the 80s, bro. Mm-hmm. So Cheryl, she, you know, she started hearing her voices. So she go out in the woods to investigate. Like, they start calling her name. Yeah. So she goes out in the woods, bro. And the tree comes to life.
Mm-mm.
It starts grabbing at her clothes, like picking her up, like just wrapping the vines around her arms. So, bro, check this out. They lay her down. The tree does this, sir. Grabs each leg and spreads her legs open. Guess what happens after that? Just imagine what's the next scene.
Silent Hill. That Silent Hill scene.
When she's all starfish on the ground?
Yes. The tree got a little horny. You know, insertion here, sir. Go ahead and get rapaged mm-hmm. by tree.
Huh?
That's why this movie got that NC-17 rating.
Because
that was very controversial in the early years, bro. That's crazy. And then when I was watching it, it was like she was like afraid, but then she started moaning, bro. I'm like, hold on.
At first, she get into real wood, and she's
like, she was kind of freaked out, but then she kind of was into it a little bit. I was like, this is weird. So yeah, I can see why. Yeah, that's a very famous scene for this movie, man. Another scene that's like, when I think of this movie, I think about this particular scene. So Cheryl does get possessed, obviously, because, you know, the tree thing.
Right.
So she ended up getting possessed. So they end up throwing her in a cellar. They stabbing her legs and she gets weak and they push her into the cellar and they close the door. So she's on the ground.
Okay.
But the whole time she's peeping through, bro. And you can see her little demon eyes and she's smiling. She's laughing. It's creepy, bro. Like, it's creepy. So she's watching like everything go down in the cellar. So a lot of pictures of that movie, if you were to look it up, it would be that picture. Cause that was very iconic moment. Yeah. And then, so eventually, as you imagine, one by one, these characters start getting possessed by these demons, right?
Right.
So one possession, she gets possessed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my man's trying to grab her hand and he cut it. He's trying to cut her hand off, but he didn't cut it all the way because she was coming at him with a weapon. So he had the Ruben's face. So she cut off like some of her meat, right?
No.
So she was like, you know what? I'm just going to go in and get rid of the rest of this. She gets to chewing the rest of her wrist. You see why this movie got this rating, sir? She got the gnawing on her hand, bro. Bite that joint off. Yeah, bro. I was like, what in the actual F? So obviously he like, man, look, you got to go. I don't know what's going on. Now, mind you, Ash in this movie ain't the Ash that he became to be that the world knows him as now. This is the beginning of Ash. This is
prequel.
This is Ash pre-Ash.
Origin story.
So this whole movie, he kind of like, I'm not gonna lie, he was acting like a little bitch, bro. he was acting bitches, but he was, because he wanted everybody to live. He was like, man, no, let's, because everybody else said, no, bro. Like his boy Scotty was like, no, bro. they can't live. They got to die.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, no, man, we're going to all get out of here alive. And Scotty was like, nah, that's not her no more, man. So he killed Cheryl, which is, you know, granted, she should have died.
Right.
So Ash had to take old girl outside. I forget her name. Was it Linda? It's a lot of names in this movie. He took one outside when she, because like I said, slowly everybody gets possessed. So he takes one outside, buries her. He couldn't kill her. He couldn't cut her head off. He just couldn't do it. So he said, you know what? I'm just going to take you outside and bury her. Bro, come on, man. What is you doing? Bro, the moment he tried to walk away, old girl busts out the ground. Like, what you doing? She attacked his ass. So obviously he had to do what he had to do, man. So he cut her head off with a shovel. So but he had to, you know, well. I do at this point. So as you can see, he's starting to get it now. He's starting to be like, all right, man, like Scotty was right. But guess what happened to Scotty?
He probably possessed.
He gets possessed too.
Sucker ass.
So the only way, like, everybody getting possessed at the end of it was Scotty and one more. I forget what chick it was. And then he decides to throw the book into the fire, which helped. It helped.
It did. Oh, usually that doesn't work.
It did. So it melted the book, or I guess the bindings and everything, and all the, you know. Mm-hmm. And then that was it. Like, they started to pretty much melt when he threw the book in there. Mm. So he walks out the door. He thinking everything's over. The sun's up. Be like, oh, okay, my man's made it. But no, he gets possessed at the end, and then
credits roll.
Okay, but hold on. Now, there's a sequel to this movie, right? It's called The Evil Dead 2. But this is not a sequel. When you watch the movie, it's a play-by-play remake of the first one. But it's called The Evil Dead 2. But it's a retelling of the whole story. It's so much lore in this movie, bro.
Mm.
Like, first of all, let me hit you with these facts. So they shot this movie. Now, by the way, the director is Sam Raimi. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
So he was the director. And then Robert Taper was the producer. And then, obviously, Bruce Campbell. These three were friends.
Mm.
I know for sure Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi went to high school together. They knew each other for... So this was one of their passion projects. They made a little short movie. The original title was Within the Woods.
Mm.
They made this movie, and they were like, we want to make it a full feature film, right? This is our goal. We want to make this into a big movie. So what they did was they put this movie into... They showed it wherever they could show it at. Anywhere, bro. Mm. Laundromats. Anywhere. Or grocery stores. Like, they would, like, get a grocery store, and then once they closed, they would ask, like, hey, can we show our movie in your grocery store when you close? So they let them do it. And they would charge $1 for people to come see this movie. So eventually they got them funding to make this movie. And on top of that, Bruce Campbell put up his house for this movie for Sam Raimi. And Sam Raimi said he'll never forget that. Yeah, no, they real friends, bro. Like, he was like, bro, did somebody do that for me, man? Like, whatever. And that's why if you see every Sam Raimi movie, guess who went there? Almost every Sam Raimi movie, Bruce Campbell got something to do with it, bro. 100%. Mm-hmm. Hey, boys, man. That made me feel good because I got y'all, man. I feel like if that happens with us, like, we're going to hold each other down. So it's just cool to see, like, you know, how this movie, the origins of it. But essentially, they lost the rights to the movie. So their workaround was to retell the movie again, but called it a sequel. So it's really a requel. This is what Bruce Campbell calls it. He calls it a requel. So now in the requel, what happens is, it's the same goings on. The five friends go to the cabin, but now Ash is a different Ash. This Ash is more ham. So a lot of things are going down. He's more like willing to fight this Ash. He's not the original person of Ash. Now this is the iconic scene to where he almost gets possessed, and it gets in his hand. And y'all remember what happened to what he had to do, right? Yes, sir. He had to cut that hand off, and then he attached the chainsaw. That's one of his iconic weapons. It's his handsaw or chainsaw. Yeah, his arm. Yeah. And then he got his boomstick, which is the famous shotgun that he uses. That's his two weapons. It's his arm and his boomstick. And that's how he became the Ash everyone knows now.
Damn.
Because of the requel. Right, now he's a horror, like, hero now.
Mm.
So it's just, like, it's cool, man. I was just watching this movie, and I read these little facts.
Yeah.
So, man, it's cool, man. Like I said, I did mention the Book of the Dead. It was made by the Dark Ones. It's pretty much their Bible.
Mm-hmm.
These demons. So it's their Bible. Mm-hmm. Now, Deadite, this is what they're called. They're attracted to, like, fear, like an erratic behavior. So if you're acting afraid or you're erratic,
you can
get possessed. Obviously, another way is they can, you know, if they cut you, they scratch you, they're very fluid-ish. So they do vomit a lot. It's a lot of stuff coming out of their mouth. They nasty.
Damn.
Whatever they can use to possess you, they will. If they got to scratch you, whatever they got to do, they're going to do it. So that's how you can get possessed by them. But you can't get unpossessed.
Oh.
And you can't kill them. Now, you can kill them by Kandarian steel. If you have if you just happen to have some Kandarian steel, you good. You stab them with it, they'll melt. Another way is... I'm talking about either decapitation or, like, full dismemberment. Once you're possessed, and you're at that point, you got to take their arms off, legs, you got to head, everything. Otherwise, that hand's still coming, the leg still, like, is kicking, and then you got to burn it.
Damn.
It's hard to kill these things, man. It's a lot of, like, things you can do. Or here's another plus. If you can manage to get them chained up till the sun comes up, they're highly allergic to sunlight. So if you're possessed and you chained up and the sun come up, the demon will die. It'll burn out of you.
Huh?
So it's hard, but it's like
a little balanced,
feasible.
Yeah, you know. So I was like, bro, I swear to God, bro, like this. I had more fun doing the research for this movie than I actually had watching the movie. It was so much stuff I found out, man. So like I say, high respect for that. Right. So being that, I'm going to roll into my rating.
Go ahead, brother.
Sam Raimi's first movie, bro. Hands off. Clap for my boy.
That's right.
Full point for this, man. Hey. Like, he was doing the shots that I'm holding people accountable for in the 80s. The shots that I want, these kind of shots, man.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The dramatic shots. So he did that back then. So shouts out to him. 1 full point for that. Story originality. Come on, bro.
Yeah.
I ain't never heard of nothing like this. This is nuts. This is crazy, bro.
A tree. Hold on.
So I was like, oh yeah, 4 point. And then performances. This is where, you know, the 80s acting kicks in. You could tell that these were like student actors / early actors.
Yeah.
Kind of a little hokey, a little bit. Even Bruce Campbell was a little shaky sometimes, bro. And so, yeah, for that reason, yeah, I gave it a 0.75. I had to take a little bit off the top.
Nah, you good.
For the visual, same thing. Like, I can appreciate the practical because they had to. There was no CG back then, y'all.
Right.
So, yeah. And when you realize what they had to do to achieve what they achieved in this movie, you have to give it the accolades for that. However, it didn't age well. That's the only way. It just don't age well, man. Like it's just it looks pretty bad. So for that, I had to take a little off the top for that as well. Not too much because I respect the art of
at that time.
Too. Exactly. So yeah. I gave it a 0.75.
Okay.
And then the sound design score. This is where I was like, oof. It was just pretty. It's old. It's an old movie, man.
Like, it's not that old.
The sound effects. You remember y'all was giving we were assigned shit for the sound effects and we were assigned.
Yeah.
Y'all will have a field day with this movie, man. It was some sound effects in here. I was like, ooh.
I can imagine.
I mean, I don't know. I was conflicted because I was like, I see what y'all were doing, man. But I got to be. I felt right giving it a 0.5, right. Mid in the middle. So with that, my score is a 4 out of 5, which is, like I say,
yeah,
it's still a good movie, man. Yeah. Hell yeah. Yes, sir.
Overrating that the other
especially like you said, an 80s film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that seems like it's one of your all time favorites, right? Or
this movie's a classic. Hell yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I never saw the requel. I'm proud of to check that one out. I remember seeing the first one.
The original The Evil Dead? Yeah. You can just go straight to The Evil Dead 2 and just go from there.
Oh really? Oh,
yeah, because like I said, it's just pretty much essentially a retelling of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just that Bruce Campbell don't die at the end of this one.
Well, thanks for the spoiler. No, I'm just kidding.
Damn. Well, it's not like nobody don't know, because obviously we know Ash Williams is.
Yeah.
Ash Williams is a highly praised character in the horror community. So, yeah, everybody knows he didn't die.
Hey.
Not a real spoiler, you know.
True that. So is there any segment or any scenario that you guys think that you guys would rather be in? Would you rather be in my scenario, the three sharks under the water, Alcatraz, during a thunderstorm, or Ruben's faculty in high school?
Well,
Ryan's.
For me, I think I would still stick to the faculty.
Just because,
like I said, I can't say, man.
You probably have the highest survival.
A possession, I don't know. That's kind of like you're going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with
Ruben. One on tree playing with me.
I think out of all three of ours, mine would be.
If we had to put it in order, mine would be the worst case scenario. Mine would be you're screwed, bro, because you know they don't know how to do all the stuff. I know that I read it because I know the movie, but you don't know that in the movie. You don't know how to kill these things. You did. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you're gonna do to survive, unless you know.
They didn't either. Like if we went in there, like almost kind of like they did.
Yeah.
And like even me too, if I put myself in their shoes and I didn't know about whatever, would I survive? I still think I would kind of survive, maybe.
In the faculty?
If I didn't know nothing, like if I didn't see the movie, like I didn't know nothing, I think it was too. But I would think Moe's and yours will be for sure like Carnahar, because Moe's is like, right, he's like, you're an Alcatraz, you're stuck in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's like these sharks.
And as a couple of us know, a couple of us on this panel can't swim. I don't know if you can swim, Mo, but me and Ruben can't swim.
Oh, I can't swim for sure.
So, that's all ocean. Three of us in the middle of an ocean with three murderous sharks. Yeah.
No, and they're super smart sharks too. They're not.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm good.
Killer.
It's almost like me and you are choosing where would we want to die in the ocean
basically.
Or in the woods.
Yeah.
in that scenario.
And let's be honest here. You got two Mexicans and a black guy on the panel. You're going to say, hey, Ryan, you want to go to an abandoned cabin in the woods in the middle of nowhere? Y'all go ahead and have a good time. Nah. Y'all go ahead and do that. Yeah, I'm cool. Y'all not finna get the Book of the Dead on me. Yeah, sounds good. But I see the Evil Dead. I'm good. I don't want no parts of that. Out, sir. Yeah, I'm good. But if I'm in high school, you know, it gets taken over by the aliens, and I feel like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's going to be hard either way to survive, but I feel like the chances are slightly higher if we were in the faculty.
I mean, if I seen some aliens and there was in high school, I see some dudes, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's the perfect reason to smack them around. Mm-hmm. Huh? Like, I didn't like you anyway. Yeah,
sucker.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So yeah, I would choose Ruben's movie.
I guess we're all in agreement. Mm-hmm. Mine's would be.
I'm pretty sure we got. So we'll rate it. So from least to I guess top. I guess the least place we want to be is my movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the next after mine is Mo's movie. Mo. Yeah, number one.
Mine
will be. Yeah, we feel like we might have a chance.
Yeah.
The highest success rate on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're all gonna be carrying some.
Because if all three of us were in the faculty and in the Deep Blue Sea and then Evil Dead, I think we would all die in the Deep Blue Sea and we still would all die in Evil Dead. But I think if we were in the faculty, we had a class
together. We have a chance.
We had team up. I think we got a chance. Yeah.
I feel like we got a chance. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, ain't no way we taking out a shark, bro. Yeah, especially with no Zippo lighter.
We can't. Well, how we going? Yeah, no. No. Some of that means you might have to get in the water to do things. And yeah, that's where we're screwed. So no, thank you.
Yeah.
Go hold my breath for like 10 seconds. That's it. I'm done.
So this has been another episode of the TBNP. Thank you guys for joining us on another original idea. If you guys want to listen to some more funny ideas or scenarios, go ahead and like and subscribe. Don't forget to comment on us on the YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, X. Apologize. Mm-hmm. Elon. You know, all those socials. You know, wherever you guys watch us, Instagram. You know, don't forget to give us a little like and subscribe.
Yeah.
Once again, this has been your host, Mo.
This is Rue.
And this is Ryan.
Peace.